I'm Peter Hall, producer and host of Buffalo Philharmonic Live, heard on 94.5 FM Classical WNED in Buffalo, New York. And my special guest in our studios, as she so often is, the music director of the Buffalo Philharmonic Orchestra, Joanne Folletta. Joanne, thanks for coming back over to WNED.
Thank you, Peter. It's always great to be here talking about music.
Once again, you have teamed up with the Naxos Recording Company to introduce us to a composer that is not that well known, but his music is so gorgeous.
It's true. This is music of extraordinary atmosphere, gorgeous texture, poignancy, and it is surprisingly little known. And I'm talking about the composer Vítězslav Novák, fantastic Czech composer. That, of course, has been part of our charge from Naxos, Peter, as you know, to find especially romantic era composers, late 19th century, early 20th century, who are not known, are not played, and to bring them to the public. And we've reveled in that. I mean, we've loved that challenge, and we found some wonderful composers that we've enjoyed performing and now will perform again.
Well, we can talk about the Czech Bohemian composers in a moment, but in general, the Buffalo Philharmonic Orchestra, you guys have really explored Eastern European music. We've heard some great Bartok, Josef Suk, Ernst von Dohnányi. Why do you think the orchestra does so well performing this music?
I think it's the sound of the orchestra, Peter, the sound that they've developed partly from playing in Kleinhans Music Hall, partly from, I think, their European roots with the first music directors that they had. It developed in the Philharmonic a kind of warm darkness of sound, a kind of heaviness of sound that works so well in the fabric of this music. And that warmth comes through, the warmth of their personality comes through. And I've always felt that Czech music in particular has a great personal warmth and a personal charm that suits the orchestra. And so Naxos has identified us as an orchestra that they like to give projects that call for a big sound, a big orchestra sound, a kind of warmth that the Philharmonic is able to present.
Let's face it, in the world of classical music, it's the classical composers who lived in Vienna who get all the attention, all the headlines. I mean, we're talking Haydn and Mozart and Beethoven and Schubert. But right next door to Austria is what we now call Czechoslovakia. Oh my gosh, what a treasure trove.
It is. You know, that surprised me too, Peter. I grew up, of course, as you did, knowing about the composers from Vienna and that Vienna was the center of the music world. But the fertile landscape of Bohemia, of the Czech Republic, of Slovakia now, is amazing. I mean, the composers that, of course, we know, like Dvořák and Smetana, but also Janáček and Suk, Zelenka, Rijka, Van Hall, Stamitz, even Gustav Mahler comes from Bohemia. So it's a land rich in music, and I was so thrilled the first time I visited Prague to get a sense that music was literally everywhere.
Do you think there's a special connection between the people of Bohemia and those of us here in the United States? I don't know. Everyone I know responds immediately to this music.
You're right. And I, you know, I've thought about that so much. And I come back to this concept of warmth and a connection to the people. You know, Dvořák, inspired by Smetana, maybe is the quintessential voice of this region of Bohemia. And of course, he always looked to the simple people, to the landscape, to the traditions, the folk music, to find his inspiration. And I think that we respond to that. There's a kind of sturdiness, there's a kind of realness to this music, a warmth and energy that comes from the soil and from the simplicity of life. So I think we do. I think when we hear this music, there's something about it that connects with us.
I wonder if you could talk about nationalism in music. One of the funnier but kind of accurate descriptions I once heard is nationalist music is any music that isn't German. So anything that isn't Beethoven is pretty much national. I mean, and we're talking, you know, great Russian national composers like Tchaikovsky. Great English national composers, great American national composers. And, of course, nationalism in what we now call, Slovakia, Czechoslovakia, Bohemia, those people are pretty darn proud people.
They are. And you're right. I mean, for so many years, music was dominated by Germany and Austria and that incredible tradition. But around the middle of the 19th century, there were stirrings all over Europe that their voice was important, their people, their traditions, their culture, their folk songs. And this was certainly very strong in Bohemia, led by Bedrich Smetana, who's the father of Bohemian nationalism and fervor. And it was an intense period, Peter, as you say. I mean, these people were really focused on being true to their country. And this Novak, Vyacheslav Novak, this wonderful composer, developed his musical art in this fertile backdrop of Bohemian nationalism and fervor. He was a student of Antonin Dvorak and a close friend of Josef Suk, who was, of course, Dvorak's son-in-law. And he was inspired by the patriotic ardor of Bedrich Smetana. And so he created a body of music steeped in the landscape, steeped in the character of the Bohemian people.
Now, a minute ago, we were contrasting nationalist Bohemian Czech music with German music, and one of the great German composers, of course, Richard Strauss. And I remember when we first heard this piece played by the Buffalo Philharmonic Orchestra in concert, you had programmed Novak's In the Tatra Mountains with another mountain piece, Strauss's Alpine Symphony. So these are both wonderful works. Can you compare and contrast these two works?
Yes, it was a very interesting concert to hear the Alpine Symphony of Strauss, this gigantic piece, and to precede it by Novak's In the Tatra Mountains, which may be Novak's masterpiece. Now, the Strauss Alpine Symphony is a personal journey of Strauss going up the mountain, and it's active and busy, filled with incredible detail of what he's doing. He's on the meadow, he's slipping on the ice, he comes to the summit, he's making the dangerous descent, all of these in exquisite detail. In the Tatra Mountains is quite different. It is Novak's portrayal of the beautiful mountain range that lies between Poland and Slovakia. And I think to know what he's writing, you have to know, too, that the composer, Vyacheslav Novak, suffered from depression for much of his life, but he always was able to find solace and tranquility and healing in the mountains, and he spent a great deal of time in this mountain range. And in this music, unlike Strauss, whose focus is on details and every aspect of the mountain close up, Novak creates an immense and epic vista, lonely and solitary. And as I worked on this music, we played it, Novak seems to make time stand still. We're gazing upon these peaks, and these peaks remain mysterious and unknowable. And the music has a kind of poignant melancholy, a great solemnity, as if the mountains themselves maybe are the priestly guardians of a sanctuary. So in his music, rather than exploring every detail of the mountain range, there's a sense of the primitive, of gloomy forests and waterfalls, of this kind of glowing mountain air, of timelessness. And the mountains are close to us. They hide the dark, inscrutable soul of the Tatras. So it's a very different approach, a very mystical approach to this mountain range.
As you were talking about the work titled In the Tatra Mountains, I was wondering, could you also have been talking about another piece on the CD, Eternal Longing? It's sort of, they seem to go hand in hand.
It's true. This man was a man of a great interior depth and suffered a great deal in his life. And Eternal Longing maybe reflects that as well. It's very bohemian, but it also betrays his love of the music of French Impressionism, especially Debussy. You'll hear that. It was inspired by a beautiful poem by Hans Christian Andersen. And in this poem, the moon is speaking. The moon tells this tragic tale of a flight of swans. The swans are traveling by night. You just imagine that beautiful sight of the swans flying in the darkness. And a young swan, who's not as strong as the rest, falls on the water because he needs to sleep for a little while, to rest. And he lies on the water like a beautiful white flower. And when the sun rises, the little swan looks for his friends, and he sets off in a vain search because he can't catch up with them, and he's doomed to fly forever alone, filled with longing. This might have been a reflection of how Novak felt in his life, but he creates this amazing portrait from the opening sea that's shimmering in the moonlight to the flight of the swans to the gorgeous harmonies that are even reminiscent, I think, a little bit of Mahler and Zemlinsky. Novak has crafted this work, which is absolutely luminous.
Say this Eternal Longing, based on a poem written by Hans Christian Andersen.
Yes, and not very well known in our country, this moon telling the tale of this little swan that gets left behind. Very tragic.
The Tatra Mountains, filled with mystery. Eternal Longing, filled with this sort of luminous melancholy, this, well, as the title says, this longing. And then we come to the third work, Lady Godiva. Now, I think we all have our own impression of Lady Godiva. Okay.
Yes.
You want to
Well,
this is quite
different. I mean, it's a brilliant and dramatic overture. It was an overture to the play. He wrote incidental music to the play Lady Godiva. And as you hear from this music, it's a very blustery and dramatic retelling of the ancient legend, which you might remember. Lady Godiva is a very compassionate, beautiful young woman. But her husband is not, and he's overtaxing the people of the town, and they're suffering. They don't have money for food or clothing, and they appeal to her, and she appeals to him. And he strikes a terrible bargain with her. He will remove the taxes if she is willing to ride on her horse unclothed through the town at noon. And she does. She says, I will do this to save my people from their suffering. And it's a beautiful story because everyone in the town who loves her so much stays in their homes, closes their windows and their shutters and their doors so that she is given complete privacy as she performs this sacrifice. Although in one version, there is one person who peeks through his shutters, who peeps through his shutters, a person named Tom. So that's where that legend comes from. The music celebrates the triumph of the goodness of Godiva and the love of the townspeople for their beautiful champion. And at the end, we hear bells tolling in the finale to celebrate the fact that Lady Godiva has won for them the removal of these taxes and a chance to have a good life.
I sometimes think the expression win-win, as in, that's a win-win situation, is a little overused. But in this case, I'm thinking we might have a win-win. Because when the Buffalo Philharmonic Orchestra records these lesser-known works, we all benefit. We win because we get to hear them. And otherwise, we probably wouldn't. But it's also a win for the orchestra. I think you've mentioned that before, that recording these lesser-known works somehow makes the orchestra stronger, better.
It's true, Peter. And, you know, you and I have talked about this. We, of course, the great classics that we hear, they are great, and we want to hear them again and again. But it's almost like an iceberg, where we play the tip of the iceberg that's above the surface of the water all the time, and underneath there's this vast collection of music that we never hear. So for us to go on this voyage of trying to find this music is a great adventure for me and for the orchestra, but we couldn't do it without our audience, without our audience's open-mindedness, their sense of adventure, their excitement about hearing new works. So we present them here in Buffalo first, of course, record them for Naxos, and hopefully that goes throughout the world, people making discoveries of music like the music of Vítězslav Novák. And it does strengthen our orchestra a great deal because, Peter, in a way, when we're playing pieces that have a set interpretation, like a Beethoven symphony, we've heard it maybe thousands of times. We know how it's usually done. But when we're discovering Lady Godiva Overture or Eternal Longing, there is not an accepted, this is the way it must be played. We have to create that. We have to create an interpretation that we hope will become something that other people will base their performances on. And that's great for us as an orchestra to develop that way, to really get inside the music and try and understand it from the score with fresh ears, with first understanding, first hearing of this music. It's very exciting for the orchestra and for me to do that together. It makes us stronger as an orchestra.
We've been speaking with Joanne Folletta. Her discography is well over 100 CDs, and many of them of late have been on the Naxos label. It's just this wonderful marriage. Joanne, I'm trying to remember the first CD.
We have been working with Naxos now for 15 years, and our first CD was of an American composer, and Naxos wanted us to do a couple of American discs to sort of try out this relationship, and it was Frederick Shepherd Converse, who was well known maybe for a piece called The Mystic Trumpeter, or Endymion's Narrative. Wonderful romantic American music. And soon after that, we tackled another American composer who has a connection to this region, Charles Tomlinson Griffiths. And that was extraordinary music, too, a true American impressionist.
And it just keeps going and going. And the latest in this long line of successful compact discs is music by Czech composer Vítězslav Novák. There are three pieces represented on the CD: In the Tatra Mountains, Eternal Longing, and Lady Godiva, all featuring the Buffalo Philharmonic Orchestra, all conducted by Joanne Folletta, who has been our special guest here in the WNED studios. Joanne, thanks for dropping by and telling us about this latest CD.
Thank you, Peter.